Hello, and welcome to the Context Machine, episode 659. Jeff, I am editing my guidelines now. Episode 659, I'm Brian Chaffin, one of the top men who run this program.
Oh, and without having a script, I can only assume
I said it to you.
I'm Jeff Gamet, and great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's called just-in-time delivery.
Yes.
Anyhow, we have a website. It's contextmachine.io.
You can use contextmachine.io, sorry about my dog, to reach out to us, or you can find us on Mastodon at Context Machine.
Yeah. And thanks for getting me the intro script as I'm already talking.
I was editing it as I was already talking. Speaking of Mastodon, the masters of user interface.
This is why we have a thriving market for developers to create Mastodon apps.
Sure.
And the Mastodon people.
Yeah.
They've been very straight up about the fact that when they created the Mastodon app, that they knew they hadn't created the best app, but they wanted to have something so people would have a place to start while the third-party developers got into the mix. And now we have this very thriving community.
I like how you offer this information as if it is somehow a redeeming quality.
It's redeeming in the fact that it's transparent.
Okay. Anyway, but regardless, the beepers who own Threads have been up to some shenanigans. They are Meta, who owns three little outfits. Actually, they own tons of outfits, but the three big. Actually, is WhatsApp
four? Yeah. Keep in mind that outside the United States, we don't live outside the United States, but the rest of the world,
yeah,
they use WhatsApp.
Right, that is true. So anyway, they're going to be using our post to train their AI, but you can object to that, and they might accept your objection. And you have until June 26th to do this.
And this is when it's time to start flipping tables, because
yes,
it's not even opt out. It's a request for them to not do something that they are opting you into, and you just hope that first they say, okay, we won't scrape your data. And then second, that they're not lying when they say we won't scrape your data.
Yes. Yes. And to get to it, it is seriously four or five levels deep into the settings. And then you have to scroll. At one point, you have to scroll for like hours to get down to the thing, and then you eventually.
It's a link hidden in a paragraph.
And then that takes you to a page where you click a link that says "Learn More." It doesn't say click a link to object. It's like learn. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. We have a link in the show notes to a fellow who sort of walks us through this process on Instagram.
Yeah. And when you're watching the video and he starts doing the scrolling thing and it just keeps going and going and going, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is completely ridiculous. And you have to, I have started this three times and gotten so frustrated that it's, they'll do it later, which is what they're counting on, of course.
Mm-hmm. Stop procrastinating, Brian, because you only have a few days left.
Yes, and that's why we're mentioning it today.
Yeah. And
so make sure you listen to the show before the 26th.
Perfect. Yeah, everyone get right on that.
Top men.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right.
It really pisses me off, though, the whole thing about, well, let me ask you to not do the unethical thing and hope that you agree. This is a dysfunctional, abusive relationship we are in with
Yeah. Yeah. I am increasingly of the opinion that big tech is out of control. I am increasingly I'm beyond the opinion that private equity is out of control. I am also beyond the opinion that hedge funds are out of control. And I wish that we lived in a country where regulators would actually take a firm hand.
It feels like we're on a crazy train and it's going off the rails.
Yeah, and in the meanwhile, in the EU, where they do a much better job of regulating companies, they are picking fights that I disagree with. Some of their fights I disagree with. Many, if not most, I don't disagree with, but some of their fights with Apple in particular, I disagree with.
It's a mess everywhere. This just happens to be our mess.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Thanks, Meta.
Yeah.
How about if we switch to something that seems happier? Hopefully, more interesting.
And I can't wait to find out where this is going.
Okay, so before we started the show without a script, talk about flying by the seat of our pants, which is saying something for the guy who doesn't like to wear pants. You were just starting to tell me a little bit about this whole thing with the book services stuff that you are learning all about. Why don't we go down that path?
So basically, we're going to pretend that I only told you a little bit so that I can tell you more now.
Well, we don't have to pretend because it's not like I was listening.
that's fair. That's fair. All right, so I will.
People listen to us.
No, I don't. It seems really silly. So the long and there's no short of this. The long of this starts with me learning about a service that lets me advertise my books to book fans. It's like literally I can pay to advertise to people who have signed up to have books advertised to them. Which to me, that is good advertising because it, right? I mean, it's like people have said, yes, I love books. Tell me about books.
Yeah, okay. Yes. The finding the target audience, a qualified target audience, sounds like this is what this does.
And my ads saves
you from having to go and find all of these different places yourself.
Yes, and my ads are labeled as ads. So, yay. So, long story short, because I was running these ads on BookBub, I promoted my Barnes & Noble link. I promoted my Kobo link. I've recently gotten my Accidental Intelligence and King Liam. I've recently added them to Kobo. And and then I also advertised my Google Play link. You know, I've never had any sales to speak of. And when I'm saying for the purposes of this conversation, when I say sales, I'm also including downloads of my free book, King Liam, the short story. So
okay.
Just for full disclosure. So it's just, you know, shorthand sales. I've never really gotten next to no traction on Google Play, but I added it to a couple of ads just to see what it would do. And it did really well. I've actually had more downloads on Google Play since I've started this campaign than I have on Kindle. And that's really saying something, because Kindle utterly dominates the book market.
Yeah, it's like the de facto platform.
Yeah, but it turns out that Kobo fans seem to be a bit rabid for Kobo. It seems like what I have since learned, and I've only been digging into this for a couple of weeks, is that Kobo is got a really strong platform presence and fan base.
You know, as you say this, I realize I shouldn't be surprised, because Kobo users are probably very adamant about not using Kindle.
Probably. Kobo is owned by Rakuten at this point. Mm-hmm. And Rakuten, I don't think, has managed to prove yet that they're a crappy tech company.
Yeah, well, considering the path we're on with so many companies, there's time.
Yeah, there is time. But regardless, Kobo, which I'm pretty sure that Kobo makes its own hardware, right? They've got apps. There are Kobo apps for iOS and Google Play and maybe even the Mac.
Yeah. I mean, isn't it Kobo that shows up in wait, let me start the sentence again, because I had so many words in my head and the wrong ones came out. Isn't Kobo the physical book reader that that is sold in Barnes & Noble?
No, that's Nook.
That's Nook. Okay.
Okay, so Kobo has got their own series. They're again, their own. Did you hear the train?
All aboard!
Their own multiple series of ebook readers. They're very similar to Kindle. It seems like they're e-ink devices. And although I'm not positive about that, I haven't really, frankly, looked into this all that much. And they seem to be really popular. That, mm-hmm. to me, is important from the standpoint of I hate seeing the consolidation that Amazon has, certainly from the standpoint of indie authors. There are a lot of indie authors who start and stop with Amazon when they're thinking about publishing. Mm-hmm. And considering the fact that the growth of the indie author market, the growth of the number of indie authors who exist is staggering. I hate seeing them thinking about one place to publish.
I'm with you. I'm not surprised though, because Amazon is so ingrained in our consumer culture as the go-to place. So, I mean, people buy books online, you just assume they're buying them from Amazon.
Right. It turns out there are people who are buying them elsewhere. Now, Kindle Unlimited, I know we've talked about this, right? I know you and I have talked about it. I'm pretty sure we talked about it on the show.
We've talked about it on the show too.
Kindle Unlimited, which requires exclusivity through Kindle to use. So if I want my book to be on Kindle Unlimited, where people who pay a subscription fee can download it and read it all they want, if I want to do that, I have to only have my ebook on Kindle. I cannot have it anywhere else. That is so majorly anti-competitive and is a big part of why so many indie authors only start and stop thinking about Kindle when they're going to publish, because they want those Kindle Unlimited bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that Kobo has its own similar system. It's called Kobo Plus. Similar, so you pay a subscription, you can download anything that's been added to Kobo Plus and read it all you want, or as little as you want. And but they don't require exclusivity.
Okay, that seems much more reasonable.
And I don't know. I've been on Kobo since the beginning of June. So like, I think I added my stuff to Kobo probably like 4 or 5 days after I published King Liam, which was on the 4th. And I haven't seen. But they only report Kobo numbers to publishers on a monthly basis. So I won't know how I did in June until July. I'm assuming that I've gotten some traction with Kobo through these ads. I'm assuming that will translate into some Kobo Plus love, but I don't know that for sure. And I wish Apple would do a similar service.
I wish Apple would take a more serious role in this space. And I feel like the reason they don't is because they got burned so bad, partially their fault, but
I don't know, man.
They were very involved in price fixing. But Amazon should not have been handed the market.
No.
I mean, that was a completely inappropriate way to resolve this problem.
Yeah, and the DOJ / FTC's continued hands-off approach on Amazon makes no sense to me on all aspects of Amazon's business.
Well, it makes sense if you accepted that the DOJ is essentially granting them a monopoly, just letting them to do as they please.
Well, right, but that makes no sense. Especially it makes no sense under this DOJ and this FTC, because they have both been very aggressive, especially compared to recent administrations, including Obama and Trump and the Bush years. They've been very aggressive in actually going after antitrust violations. And I don't know why they're not targeting Amazon. Kindle Unlimited should be targeted, and it should not. All they need to do is the exclusivity. They need to get rid of the exclusivity. That's all they have to do. And that's all the FTC or the DOJ would have to get them to try to do. And I'm confident, and I am an attorney. Wait, I'm not an attorney.
You're not an attorney, but you know me, and I have played one on stage.
Excellent.
So that's basically the same
thing. It's basically the same thing. And I'm pretty sure that they could win that concession. And I wish they would.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
All
right, so I have a question for you.
Yeah.
So you have been experimenting with BookBub?
Yes.
And how is that working out?
Oh, it's been amazing. I was averaging about 3 downloads a day for King Liam. Maybe 4 if you looked at it. It's like 3. I was averaging at least 3 a day on Kindle. And if you took all the other platforms combined, I was probably averaging 4 a day. And in the last 5 days, after definitely spending a little money, I've gotten hundreds and hundreds of downloads. Like, I don't know, 350 downloads of King Liam. I've gotten a few downloads of Accidental Intelligence, and it's been lovely and it's been great.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
We should, just for clarity, let people know that we're talking about a thing you found and you've been using. We're not talking about a product or service that is sponsoring the show in any way.
Yeah.
In fact, they have no clue we exist. And second, no one has asked us to talk about them.
Right. That is absolutely true. So then the other thing related to this is that I ended up putting my audiobook on Authors Republic. And I didn't tell you this before the show, but the reason why I was doing that is because I wanted to have my audiobook on Chirp, because I can run a BookBub campaign targeting audiobook people on Chirp only. Yes.
I'm laughing because this is the point we are in our world where you're talking about all these product names and it just sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it does. It does. It does. It totally does. So regardless,
yeah, so I got on BookBub so I could get onto Chirp, which then lets me get into FlipNest and then move on into JelloBed. And I tell you what, then the sales start rolling in.
Yes. So in reality, I got on Chirp because I was on BookBub and became interested in advertising my audiobook too. And Chirp requires that I be on either Findaway Voices, which is the crappy company that's tied to Spotify.
Okay.
Or Authors Republic. So I went digging into Authors Republic.
Mm-hmm.
Authors Republic distributes to, like, there are apparently like 50 different audiobook platforms, and I had no idea.
I had no idea.
So there's audiobooks.com, there's Overdrive, there's BookBait, there's Barnes & Noble, there's Bibliotech, any play, UBook. It's like there are all these platforms out there for listening to audiobooks. And Authors Republic allows you to basically go to distribute your audiobooks when you're an indie author to all of them.
Okay.
Including Chirp. So I'm waiting for my book I've gotten everything approved. I've literally just done this in the last couple of days. So I've added my audiobook. I've gotten my account approved, and now I'm apparently in a distribution queue. So yay.
Awesome.
And this is the audiobook for King Liam. I'm still working on the one for Accidental Intelligence.
Okay. I was going to ask.
But you won't find my audiobook on Spotify.
Okay. So I'll check that one off the list. You know, we talk about this long and winding road you're going down as an indie publisher.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of things I've heard from independent artists. Where they have their craft, you have your craft, you want to create something to delight people. And that ends up being a very small part of what you do, because there's all of this other stuff that goes along with actually getting what you've made in front of those people that may enjoy it. And it's complicated, it costs money. And it's like this never ending thing. And it can become so consuming just trying to deal with that instead of creating your cool stuff, you're just going through the process of getting things set up to be sold.
Yeah. Well,
it's frustrating.
How about so there are a lot of authors, especially in the romance, romanticy, fantasy genres, who really specialize on TikTok and real content. That's like a whole thing that you have to be good at if you want to go down that route. And
okay, so in addition to creating your book,
yeah,
now in a situation like that, you're creating videos.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, you look at any influencer and you have to, you have to assume that they're spending many hours of every day generating that content. So, yeah, I'm instead focusing on advertising, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's easier, way easier for me than making videos. I don't think anyone wants to see my ugly bug on videos every day.
You don't know that?
Yeah, I do. There's an author I follow on Instagram. Her name is DJ Harrington. She is fantastic at making content supporting her books. She's great. And she's also good at doing she's really good at doing Kickstarters. Uh-huh. And I am absolutely going to launch my second book via Kickstarter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, because she showed me how to paint the edges of my books.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'll be doing those for special edition Kickstarter versions.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have bought a few books through Kickstarter campaigns.
Mm-hmm. So same.
And every time, but I'm very selective about what I back on Kickstarter. So every time that I've backed a book, it has been an absolute delight. What I get in the end. The only one that, and I'm not complaining, just pointing out, I backed Neil Gaiman's graphic novel version of Good Omens.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was in the last couple of years, right?
Right, but it's still not out.
Mm.
So it was supposed to be out, months ago, a year ago? But the artist that was actually creating the graphic novel had like serious health issues, and the whole thing had to go on hold. So, that's how it is with Kickstarter. Just because they tell you, hey, it'll be done now, doesn't mean it'll really be done at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Art can be that way.
Yeah. Anyhow, I'm looking forward to when that book is done and ships, and I'm also looking forward to celebrating when you launch your Kickstarter and when you top your goal.
Right. Sure. Let's go with that.
Hey, my job is to be excited and enthusiastic.
Yes,
about
you are the cheerleader.
Your art.
You.
So I will continue to cheer, and if you start to wander off the path, then I will be the very cranky and bitchy cheerleader.
That seems fair. All right. So to sum up this conversation, it is that there are tons of places to get your ebooks. There is, mm-hmm. I believe, too much power concentrated in Amazon's hands. I'm glad to see, I feel like Kobo's on the rise. And I would rather it be Apple Books that's on the rise, but I'll take Rakuten Kobo. To sure. be on the rise, just somebody, please. Be on the rise. And Google Play is apparently surprisingly strong for books too.
Huh.
Yeah. Who knew?
Yeah, who knew? Okay.
And then the other thing is that there are an absolute crap ton of places to get your ebooks. Your audiobooks. An absolute crap ton.
All right. Well, that's cool. I'm glad we have options.
Yes. We do have options, and I am thankful those options exist. Okay. We had a
second. I have a PSA.
Yeah.
Okay. So just so everyone has a little bit of background, everyone knows about all the crazy stuff that was going on with the really weird sale of Bartender, the Mac app that lets you do all of the awesome granular control over everything in your menu bar. Because the trust in the app or user trust in the app through the new owners of the product, it's been totally broken. People are on the hunt for
why? What's up?
Okay, so the short version is, the guy that developed Bartender and has been maintaining it for years reached a point where he just simply can't continue with this. So a company, Applause Group, came in and bought the app from him. And so then they can maintain it. The problem is this was all done very quietly. No one knew what was happening. And the way people found out what was going on, the whole deal seemed very shady. For a long time, Applause Group didn't even want people to know that they were the company that bought
Bartender. That's always a good sign.
And in their defense, I say tongue in cheek, Applause does have a reputation that would make it understandable why they didn't want people to know that they had purchased the app.
Why didn't they just create a new company? It seems like something they would do.
Well, thanks for giving them that idea, Brian. So anyhow, there was this whole thing with that, and they added in what appears to be analytic tracking code, and
their specialty, as I recall, is buying apps and then moving features to key features to a paid subscription model.
Yeah, they have a track record here. So
they really sound like the private equity of app developers.
I like that description. Yeah. So anyhow, we're talking about an app that can see and record everything on your screen. That's just the nature of how this sort of app has to work, which means you have to have an incredible level of trust in the developer. And Ben Surtees, the original developer, he had worked very hard to build that trust and then maintain it. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much overnight, Applause, they destroyed all of that trust through the way they handled this purchase process.
Then what they've done since with the tracking mechanisms that they've added to the app.
And they did remove those, but not until after the user base was flipping out. But still, I mean, the trust is broken. So I've been a very heavy Bartender user for years. And as soon as all of this news broke, I immediately went and disabled everything for Bartender because the trust was broken.
Sure.
And then I went on the hunt for a replacement utility, and I tried a few things. So here's where the PSA part comes in. The app that, at least for me, is working best as an alternative to Bartender, even though it's not as full-featured right now as Bartender, it's an app called Ice, like ICE, like frozen water, ice. And it's by a developer named Jordan Baird, and he has the whole project on GitHub. So you have the ability to build trust in what he's doing because his code is there, and people can verify what his code is doing. So right now, the public release, and I should probably double check, but the public release, at least of as of today before we started recording, was 0.09. And there's a lot of features that just weren't there that really needed to be, like, it didn't work if you're using it on a screen with a notch. And that's a problem that all developers have to work around when they're trying to create an app like this. But I found, by going through the issues discussions, on his GitHub repository, that he had a beta of 0.10.0-4 beta, and you could download that and install it. And it was like, holy crap, this fixes so many things, and it works with a notch. I haven't had a chance to test and see how it works with multiple displays yet, but people that were having trouble there, that supposedly fixed. So this beta should be a public release on GitHub anytime now. And if you're looking for an alternative to Bartender that gives you the ability to be able to verify that it's doing just what it's supposed to and is being maintained by a developer who's very responsive, ICE is a nice option. It's free, but you can donate, which is a good thing to do for developers like this.
Yeah, it's a very good thing to do.
Yeah, so I'll make sure we have a link to the GitHub repository so you can go download it.
Is there anything one needs to know to install it?
No, they make it super easy. You don't need to know command line stuff. It's just you're downloading a zip file. You expand the zip, and you have an app that you can just toss into your apps folder. And when you launch it, it just works.
Do you get the warning that, hey, I don't know where this app came from? Or is it signed?
It's a signed app.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, it alerts you that that it's from a third-party developer.
Right.
But it doesn't give you the warning that, hey, this is like super dangerous or anything.
Does it have, like, where does it stand feature-wise?
So, as of the version that I'm running, the 0.10-4 beta, you get a menu bar that drops below the regular menu bar, so it can now overcome the problem with a notch, and you have the ability to rearrange all of your menu bar icons, so you can have the stuff that you want to see all the time, the stuff that you want to see when you click on the menu bar and get the extra stuff, and the things that stay hidden all the time. They added in to the settings interface the ability to control the menu bar item layout from there. Of course, you can still do the command drag in the menu bar to move stuff around. So the core features that you need to be able to start using it right now are there. And he even has a checklist of his roadmap and what features he already has planned on implementing. And as each one gets taken care of with a new release, then you see that updated, a little check mark by all the things that have been implemented. And
that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. It sounds delightful. And I'm kind of hoping that the Mac community embraces that app as opposed to other alternatives.
Yeah, I mean, there are other alternatives that are out there.
I meant the Bartender. I didn't say that. Yeah. I didn't say that the way I should have said it.
Got it.
I would like to see applause not rewarded for what it's done.
I'm very sad about what's happened because Bartender is such a great tool, and it has been one of the Yeah.
Sorry.
It's been
too soon.
Yeah. It's been core to my workflow for years.
Yeah.
And losing Bartender, it just really sucks for me. And I cannot today imagine a scenario in which I will feel comfortable that the trust has been rebuilt to start using it again.
Sure.
And that just breaks my heart because what Ben created is a masterpiece. And overnight, I feel like the company that bought it just destroyed years of hard work.
Like I said, private equity firms are out of control.
Yeah.
I don't know that Applause is a private equity firm, but the business model seems strikingly simple.
Feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are other apps that are out there that are alternatives to Bartender. And you can try whatever you want and decide what works best for you. But I would recommend taking a look at ICE.
Okay. That seems legit. And we're going to have a link to it. To the GitHub, does it have a site to go with it too?
I don't even know if Jordan has a site. But I do know that you can just go right to his GitHub. Hold on. icemenubar.app. Yeah, there's a whole website for this. Huh. There you go.
Cool. So we'll have a link directly to the GitHub and to a site.
Yes. And the site is nice. It's a page that loads, tells you what features are going to be included, and has a big button that says download now, which I'm sure will get you the most recent version.
That makes sense.
And then another link view on GitHub. So I'll have the GitHub and the app webpage links in the show notes.
It's like it's Christmas here at the Context Machine.
It is. Ho, ho, ho.
Green Giant. Right. My little foibles aside, let's do this. That's it for this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. You can find me everywhere at GeekTells. That's TELLS. Where are you, Jeff?
I am on Mastodon and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut everywhere, but those are the places where I'm posting right now. Also, you can find me in the middle of July in Crystal Lake, Illinois for MacStock conference.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're going to be presenting, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm going to be talking about getting set up with smart home gear and how to avoid all the problems. All the mistakes that I made.
That's fantastic. And our friend Dave Hamilton will be presenting too.
Yes, Dave will be there.
I think the entire Geek Gab team will be there.
Yes, Dave, Pilot Pete, and Adam Christensen will all be there.
Yeah, that's a good group. And you?
And yeah, I'll be there. There's a lot of people that are in the Apple Podcast community that'll be there, like Allison Sheridan, Chuck Joyner, Dave Ginsberg, Brett Terpstra, and crap. There's a bunch of other people, and just off the top of my head, I can't remember everyone because there's so many people that are going to be there.
Yeah.
I have a discount code.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So if you go to the website and go to buy a ticket, use the special discount code JGAMET, JGAMET, and you get $30 off your pass.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
If you and a friend are going, like you're buying multiples, here's the cool little hack I figured out. Buy each ticket individually and use the code for each one. So you get $30 off each ticket as opposed to $30 off the whole purchase.
Shh, don't tell anyone.
tell everyone.
Oh, tell everyone. Yeah, that's a much better idea. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show. And that's all for this week, Jeff. Does that work for you?
That works for me.
Okay.
All aboard.